Hey, everybody. Welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, just want to tell you to head on over to all of our social media, get involved in the conversations. You can find us on Twitter at But Why Though PC, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And as always, check out our website, ButWhyThoughPodcast.com. And check out all the amazing work that our writers are doing, pumping out stories, their feelings, and just getting the pop culture job done. If you want to support us even more, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Enjoy the show.
I got bras of Wakanda. My niggas, they call me T'Challa. Keep my claws looking polished. My brainy and lit if I'm honest. Legacy. Panther, she getting the green like I'm Banner. That's why I'm the king of commander. A beast if I'm keeping the candy. Legacy, Panther, control if you think you can handle. So reason I'm keeping the man. So you wanna suck to me, you could be cancer. Due to your cool like I do in one panel. One hit to your chest and you blue like a candle. I love when I tie to my shoes and my sandals. I come back to anyone, you get established easily. You niggas can't even come speak to me. My energy hold a new frequency. Freaking leads me to the CC will 60 You amazing me, only fit to be. At the bottom, I'm at the epitome. That's a freebie, I'm the newest pieces. I come to the thesis and now I can see that you bleed a deficiency. Legacy, got it. I sleep in my bed with a goddess. Convene with a heart full of prophets. Blow my door in the door on my logic. I'm for the knowledge is there for the cast. Think you may actually make it at last. Otherwise, you could just lay in the cast. Mac has to give me the bigger of bats.
Hey everyone, today we are officially back from our little mini hiatus with episode 51, and we are talking about the King of Wakanda, the Black Panther, T'Challa. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And a Black Panther expert, Ritz.
Oh, what's going on? I'm not an expert.
You have a podcast on it. That makes you an expert.
Have you been doing it for 10 years?
For 10 years? No.
Yes. You're not an expert. I'm sorry. The law, you have to do something for 10 years.
10,000 hours.
So, welcome back. We're happy to have you back here again.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah.
And to bring some of that hashtag, do you even comic book knowledge, onto our nice podcast.
Word. So, yeah. y'all look out for the site because it's coming.
Ooh. I'm excited.
Yes.
I don't even know about a site, so I'm even more excited.
I was kind of like, I didn't know when he was going to talk about the site. Because it should be released. Well, at least according to the last time I talked to you, the site should be up about 2 days after this releases.
Matter of fact, this will probably be on there on the front page, probably.
Yes. There we go. So loved. Feels so loved.
We've made it.
So, first question to start things off. Do you know who Black Panther is? And when did you first meet him? Adrian?
Yes, I know who Black Panther is. He's a guy who dresses in black and has panther powers. From Civil War, obviously. No, I didn't know a lot about Black Panther until he came out in the Civil War movie. And then I started talking to you about Black Panther, and you taught me a bunch about Black Panther. And then I started following Ritz and all those guys, and I just learned a whole bunch about him. I think I first saw him, he had like a cameo thing, or like he showed up in X-Men, like the one in the 90s, like once, I think, if I remember. It was either that one or like one of the early, you know, comic book animated series, and like that was about it. So that's all I had known about him until he showed up in like the MCU.
Hmm. Yeah. So for me, one of the kids in my elementary school class who got me into reading comics, or I read comics with rather, had a Black Panther issue. I don't even remember what it was. I just remember that I thought it was really, really cool because I really liked his suit. So then I read a whole bunch. And the first time I really saw him, what I believe it was a Christopher Priest comic, which is why I have a very specific love for certain things about Black Panther that I'll get into later. Matt?
I do know who he is. And I think the first time I saw him would probably be, I believe he was in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I believe came out in 2004 or so. but I also knew he was in a lot of the, at least the Avengers animated series. And I do know in the second Marvel Ultimate Alliance, they did the whole entire Civil War and all of Wakanda in that entire game. And he was obviously a playable character for that. So I feel like 2004, that's like 15 years. It's a good bit. But yeah, so I did know who he was as far as a character. And I knew he was like in Wakanda and all the other stuff from basically some of the earlier Marvel games and a lot of the animated shows they had. And then obviously excited when we saw him in the MCU.
And best for last, best for last, Ritz.
I know who he is. I would hope that I that I know something about Black Panther. You know, having a podcast about him. But man, that the second part of that question is really that's a difficult question. Like, when did I first meet him? Or see him? That's like. It's almost like asking, like, you know, when did you realize you had a brother or a sister, you know, like, you know, or when did you first remember seeing your mom or dad? I don't know. It's he's always been there, kind of, you know, maybe in the back corner of some Avengers panel or something like that. I mean, it was most likely an Avengers comic. That I first saw him in, but like, you know, like an old Avengers comic, maybe something from the 90s, because, you know, I used to have some, you know, here and there then. I mean, and then, you know, later on, the priest run, stuff like that. So I would see issues here and there. I didn't have the whole entire priest run, you know, as it came out. But, you know, I remember seeing stuff from it. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is really hard to pinpoint for Black Panther, like, when the first time I saw him or remembered him, you know, that's a tough one.
See, I agree with him on that, because I'm like, I feel like I've known the character, but I said Marvel Ultimate Alliance, because that's, like, when I first, I guess, learned anything about him. But even, like, some of the earlier, like, oh, I knew he existed for the longest time.
So maybe the question should really be, like, when did you start to like him? Is there a moment that you can think about when you started to like him?
Or is that probably, just probably the first time I picked up one of his old one of the Priest Run comics, probably. I mean, it was a random comic. I can't remember what was going on in it. I just remember the art was cool and that he seemed like kind of like he kind of felt like the Black Batman. That's what I was thinking at the time. I was like the Black Batman, you know.
Hold on, I want to take this moment to say I love you, because I've always equated Batman and Black Panther, not Batman and Moon Knight.
Oh yeah. No, I was definitely thinking like, yeah, he's kind of like Batman, just in his style and stuff, because, you know, of course around that it's the same thing to deal with Batman. You always know who Batman was, like, you know, when you first remember seeing Batman. I don't know, but it, you know, I remember that he was similar to him, so yeah.
Do y'all want to add anything to that one?
Oh, I always thought he was the Batman of Marvel.
Oh, I meant like when you first liked him, but yeah, that too.
Oh, I just thought that at first I was with the same. When I first saw him, I thought it was the Batman of Marvel. Between the demeanor and just the way he was.
Yeah.
And obviously
he
was control of an entire country.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not per se a lot of money, but he controlled an entire country. Which I just equate to having a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as I didn't really know like a whole lot about him until like the last couple of years. I mean, I just jogged my memory with good old Google, and it was in X-Men, the animated series. He has like a non-speaking role, like where they're in Africa and he's just like in the background, I guess kind of like Batman, because this is like where he has like a cape and stuff. And I kind of want to see like the MCU Black Panther with a cape, because I think that'd be pretty dope.
No.
I love his cape. I love his cape.
Dope. It looks kind of dope. Also because like the Fantastic Four one kind of has him in a cape, and that's the one where like Keith David voices him. And I remember that one now too, now that we've talked a lot about Keith David in our past like two records, which is very weird for me. But yeah, like I kind of like the cape a little bit. I kind of like it. It's like very Batman-esque.
I don't like the cape.
I actually prefer him without the cape.
Yes, thank you.
It's more. See, with the cape, he has the royal air to him, and it gives him this air of superiority, of dominance, or whatnot. But when he's not wearing the cape, it shows more of it seems to fit the mantle a little bit more. Like the cape is almost like the kingly mantle, and then without the cape is almost like the panther mantle.
That makes sense. Oh, I will say this: I can call him Batman. I like Black Panther every time he outsmarts somebody he wants to bring into his team.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has to beat the crap out of you before you can come into the fold.
Pretty much.
I respect. So Black Panther is published by Marvel Comics, and it was created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. And he first appeared in Fantastic Four number 52 in July of 1966. This places him in the good old Silver Age of comics, like most of the prominent heroes we know today. The series itself depicts a Black Panther as T'Challa, king and protector of the fictional African nation of Wakanda, along with possessing enhanced abilities achieved through ancient Wakandan ritual. T'Challa also relies on his genius intellect, rigorous physical training, martial arts skills, access to advanced technologies, and wealth to combat his enemies and foes. Black Panther is also known for his high-profile relationship with fellow superhero Storm of the X-Men, which is probably one of my favorite things. I just got to throw that out there and interrupt me talking about him because power couple. With their problems still. So moving beyond that and going into his actual character history, this isn't something like an Iron Man, or like, it's not a title that is for one specific person or was meant for one specific person. The mantle of Black Panther itself is actually a ceremonial title that's given to the chief of the Panther tribe, which is the tribe to which T'Challa belongs to, of Wakanda. In addition to ruling the country, he is also the chief of its various tribes. And the panther habit itself is a symbol of office, pretty much like a head of state, like you were saying, Ritz, with the cape being more regal, because you do wear it and during diplomatic missions as well as other things. And the panther itself works as a hereditary title, which means it's passed down from father to son to sister in some cases. But you still have to earn it, and you still have to go through the trials to be able to embody it. So as much as it's hereditary, Black Panther is also like a state of being. In the distance, the reason Wakanda is super advanced, as I said, he has access to all that technology, is because in the distant past, a meteorite made of the vibration-absorbing mineral vibranium crashed in Wakanda and was unearthed. Reasoning that outsiders would exploit Wakanda for this valuable resource, the ruler King T'Chaka, like his father and other panthers before him, concealed his country from the outside world. T'Chaka's first wife, Nayami, died while in labor with T'Challa, and his second wife, Ramonda, was taken prisoner by Anton Pretorius during a visit to her homeland in South Africa. So for most of what?
It sounds like the actual
Petraeus?
Yes.
The Blade Runner?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that when I was typing these up.
Sorry.
Anyway. So this means that for most of his childhood, T'Challa was raised by his father alone. When T'Chaka was murdered by the adventurer Ulysses Klaue in an attempt to seize the vibranium mound, he's left alone. With his people still in danger, a young T'Challa uses Klaue's sound weapon on Klaue and his men, shattering Klaue's right hand and forcing him to flee. So, question. Why is Klaue called Klaue before he loses his hand?
Just his name, and that's because that's how, you know, Stanley writes.
That's accurate.
The better question is, why are all these like names for all this special stuff in like this universe just so like on the nose?
Because Stanley. Stanley.
Okay, so T'Challa earned the title and attributes of the Black Panther by defeating the various champions of the Wakandan tribes. One of his first acts was to disband and exile the Hatu Zarazé, the Wakandan secret police, and its leader, his adopted brother Hunter the White Wolf. He sold off small portions of vibranium to scientific institutions around the world, amassing a fortune which he used to arm himself with advanced technology. Later, to keep peace, he picked the Dora Milaje, or also known as the Adored Ones, from rival tribes to serve as his personal guard. He then studied abroad for a time being before returning to his kingship. I would just like to say that the Dora Milaje is a personal guard who are also made up of all women. And they're badass.
Some of the best. And I would say they're some of the best.
Yes. So in his first published appearance, the now adult T'Challa invites the American superhero team, the Fantastic Four, to Wakanda, then attacks and neutralizes them individually in order to test himself to see if he is ready to battle Claw, who had replaced his shattered right hand with a sonic weapon. After the ruler makes proper amends to the superhero team, the four befriend and help T'Challa, and he in turn aids them against the supervillain Psycho Man. I really hate reading this out loud because it makes me realize how bad some of these names are.
On the nose.
And after this is pretty much where we get the T'Challa I think a lot of people know, and that's the T'Challa of the Avengers. He goes to New York, joins them, and he begins a long association with that team. So, for superpowers, he's a genius, and he is almost always listed in the top 10 of the smartest characters in Marvel, alongside Banner, Tony Stark, Peter Parker, I can't remember her name, Moon Girl. Is it something Lafayette, isn't it?
Lunella.
Yeah, Lunella Lafayette. He is consistently considered one of the smartest. And then after, he actually isn't superhuman in the fact that he has he's not a mutant or an inhuman where he innately has these powers. He has to first eat a heart-shaped herb, and this grants him things like strength, agility, and super senses. And Ritz, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know that it has to do with the lore of Wakanda itself.
So what you were saying earlier about the ceremonial title of the Black Panther, when he's being raised, when T'Challa is being raised as a young boy, or anybody who's going after the title of Black Panther, when it's being, it's passed down from generation to generation. So before him, it was T'Chaka, his dad. Whenever they're going for the title, they start their training at a very young age. In T'Challa's instance, he's mainly trained. Well, his uncle Ziri, he shows up in the pre-show of Black Panther. He's like, real big, Black Thor looking dude, and he's kind of trained by him, and he has to defeat him in battle. He has to defeat several trained Wakandan warriors. He has to go without food and water for a set amount of days. I can't remember the exact number of days. I can't remember the name of the mountain either. But he has to go through all these rigorous challenges and whatnot. And at the end of it, he takes on this heart-shaped herb, this special herb. And the herb is in itself a test. So if you aren't worthy of it, it's not like Mjolnir from Thor, but it's in a sense kind of like that. If you don't have the willpower, the worthiness, or whatever you want to call it, then it can kill you or send you in a coma or something of the like. So after you go through these challenges, you then still have to have the fortitude to be able to accept the herb, and then you gain its abilities, which are enhanced strength, agility, senses, and the fact like tracking, stuff like that. So that's kind of how those powers work.
So has anybody eaten it and actually gone into a coma that we have been portrayed in the story?
Yes. Eric Killmonger.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he actually fought the Black. So the thing about Eric Killmonger is that Black Panther's never defeated him. He's like the one guy that he can't beat for whatever reason. But
notice Eric, that Ruth said the one person he can't beat. People that's important later.
Is that Michael B. Jordan's character in the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Cool. Following you. Sorry. I'm learning.
that's cool. Yeah. So he actually defeats T'Challa at one point, and he becomes the Black Panther. And then when he's getting ready to go through the trials and everything, he goes through the trials and he gets the herb and everything, and he can't handle it. So it's and Panther or T'Challa actually, he warned him, like, up to that point he was warning him, so he kind of knew that he wasn't going to be able to handle it for whatever reason. So yeah, it's definitely everything about it, about gaining the title, is a test.
So, like, I guess when it comes to the herb, is it kind of like a way to, like, make it like a balanced test? Like, you have to do more than just defeat people. Like, right. You actually have to, like, have a mental side too.
Right, right. And biological.
and biological. You have to be able to.
Yeah, you gotta be able to.
It's hereditary, right? Because I would assume that if it's an herb only some people can eat, then.
I forgot about that too. It's okay, so it's attached to the line of starts with a B something. No, not Bast.
I just read the note. Bast, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna take a guess.
No, not Bast. But it's a really obscure name, but it's one of the old bloodlines that the Panther comes down from, so it's attached to that bloodline. Oh, in fact, now that I think about it, I think that's how he knew that Killmonger wasn't going to be able to handle the herb. So I think now I'm thinking about it, you know, kind of backtracking a little bit in hindsight. I always remember, like, little details, like, oh, yeah, that's why that happened. So, yeah, that's why T'Challa was kind of like, oh, he knew he wasn't going to be able to handle the herb. Or it's less likely that you'll be able to handle the herb.
Yeah. So are we talking, like, a Spider-Man multiplier on his strength? So, like, was like 8 times his body or something?
No, Spider-Man's way stronger than Panther. No.
I guess, like, because I know he's a lot weaker than Spider-Man, like strength-wise, but, like, if you had to guess on, like, what that multiplier is.
Closer, like, to Captain America.
Okay, so, like, yeah. Is, like, how superhuman is Black Panther?
Yeah, I think he's closer to Captain America, maybe a little stronger. It's debatable. Cap's strength is
everywhere
differently. It's been portrayed differently. Now here's another thing about Panther. Even though his strength is up there, you rarely ever see his strength used in that way, because it's not really his style of fighting. You know what I mean?
So it's usually all agility based or outthinking.
Right. I mean, but then again, he does climb buildings, you know, holding dudes by their hair. So
that's agility and strength, Ritz.
So we're talking about his enhanced strength and agility. And I guess the question is, does his suit play any part of enhancement as well?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Well, I mean, I assumed it did, but I was just wondering, like, how much is, like, the suit versus how much of his actual strength?
Oh, his suit is. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Okay. No. As far as his powers, no. Okay. Like, his strength, no, the suit doesn't play into that. Like, Iron Man, you know, uses a musculature technology to increase his strength times however strong he is.
Right.
T'Challa is just raw strength wise. The suit is durability for him.
Yeah. It's made out of woven vibranium, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, like, moving on to Bast, the Panther God. Let's talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Bast, Panther God, yeah, pretty much. You got to be blessed by Bast to be worthy of anything in Wakanda. No, I'm joking. But no, so at some point during Hickman's Avenger run, Panther was going through a lot of stuff. It's a really long story. He was going through a crap load of stuff before the incursions and stuff started happening. And he ended up getting blessed by Bast, and he became the king of the dead. So he became the king of Necropolis. So it gave him another set of powers. He has limited control over the dead, kind of. But he can. The major thing is that he can convene with the minds of the past Panther gods, which is a really big deal. He can convene with their spirits, so he can, refer to them about things in Panther history or down the Panther lineage. Personally, I think with the blessing of Bass, I think he, like, that's the main thing he gains, like, as far as, like, if you're going to put it in writing. But I think he also gains, like kind of, like, ambiguous powers, you know what I mean? Like things that can be expanded upon in writing. You know, if somebody were to take it, they could take it a step further, probably say, well, he could also do this, or he has an attenuity for this, or whatever. I think they can expand a lot on that, because it gets kind of into a magical-esque realm.
Yeah. So I think, like, going off of, like, Bast and, like, the existence of, like, I guess, like, Wakandan lore and religion, like, when it comes to his introduction into the MCU, he's introduced in Civil War, which is probably, for me, like, one of the best Marvel films. Mm-hmm. And he's introduced during talking about the Sokovia Accords. His father is killed by who we think is the Winter Soldier. And I wanted to bring up, like, his immediate introduction, because I think they did a really good job of making him a human character beyond just a man in a Panther suit. Because when he's sitting and he's talking about his dad, he kind of gives you a little glimpse into how people see death in Wakanda. And for me, it gives people a glimpse into, like, that society, because he talks about how, like, in Wakanda, it, like, death isn't mourned, like, it is just a natural thing, and they see them as happy, but that's not how he sees it right now. And, like, that was something that really resonated, like, given how, like, a lot of, like, Mexican traditions see death. And right. So when they introducing him on that note, I thought was a really strong introduction to the character as a whole. Like, it wasn't just the suit.
Which
I thought was really great. I don't know what you guys think about that introduction.
It's a lot of nuance in that movie, like a lot of little nods, you know, little character insights. It was very well written.
I just thought it was pretty good, considering that was not all the story I knew of his dad's death.
I
thought for the way they did it, at least made sense and seemed plausible, and, like, they did it pretty well.
It wasn't Tony Stark making Ultron.
No.
And beyond that, too, the MCU has been dropping hints about Black Panther, or just the existence of Wakanda, multiple times throughout the movies within that umbrella. So I don't know how you guys were when you saw him come on screen, like, in the suit. Because I was excited when I saw him in that moment, and rewatching it, I think it's a really powerful introduction, a really powerful scene. But, like, I was, like, I think I was, like, hitting your arm really hard, Matt, when we watched that, because I was just freaking out.
What, you do that? When do you ever do that to Matt in the movies?
No, I never do that.
I basically ignore it. It's kind of like the potassium chlorine or sodium panels. It just gets ignored after a while.
But the reason it was awesome is because he pretty much just shows up to, like, wreck shop and run alongside cars, and Cap is just completely blown away that there's this random person keeping up with him. And Chris Evans does such a great job of being confused in those action scenes, because he doesn't understand any of it. And then he removes his helmet, and it was just like,
Everything dealing with Black Panther and Wakanda, and the small dosage that they gave us in that movie, was like, I was scrutinizing. Okay, like when I said okay, I know T'Challa's gonna be in this movie, and I was like, if they even make him look remotely like lesser than he should be, I'm gonna be mad. And they didn't. Like, I was really, really impressed when he showed up the first time outside of his suit, when he jumps down from that stairwell or whatever it was. I was like, oh, it's about to, yeah, it's about to go down. He says, this is a slow rise, you know what I mean? Yeah. And when he's fighting in the tunnel, the car chase scene, like you were just talking about, That was excellent.
In the back seat when he's talking shit. He's like, "How long do you think you're going to keep your friends safe?" I was like, "Oh!"
All the way to the door, Malaje, because
yes, when she steps to Black Widow.
Black Widow was used to being like that chick. You know what I mean? She's used to being the one. So when she stepped up, the whole tension of the situation is like in the back of my head, I'm thinking like, man, you don't know what you're doing. like please, like you don't even know. And you can just see the power just in the resolute expression in her face, the Dromalaja's face. And everything about it was excellent, all the way to my favorite line in the whole freaking movie. "I don't get." Everything about how they did them was perfect. So that's why I'm really excited about the film, because they already got them.
So this is where I bring in what Matt and Adrian push me on all the time, is the fact that I loved him in that movie because I don't feel like he lost anything in that movie. Like, he won all his battles one-on-ones with people.
Mm-hmm. They weren't ready. Really, that's how it should have been.
Because Black Widow shot his ass.
He was not ready, and that should not have gone through Vibranium, Adrian. Bullets bounced off of it.
She wrecked his ass.
She shot him with something.
He got wrecked. He lost that one.
No, don't tase me, bro. And he lost.
No.
Don't tase me, bro.
That was what I really liked about Black Widow, right? Huh?
Yeah. Black Widow, right? Okay. Yeah. And see, and to me, that kind of makes sense because, I mean, again, like, and maybe this is just me rationalizing things because I rationalize everything to make them make sense in any of these movies. It doesn't matter what they are. Like, I try to rationalize, even if I know it doesn't make sense, I try to rationalize it to make sense. So in my mind, it's like, okay, so he's got this advanced technology. Of course, his suit would probably be anti whatever a normal shock is. But then you got to think about, this is Black Widow. She's known for her widow's bite. You know what I mean? The widow's thing. So, it, you know, like, caught off guard, technology you've never seen before. Maybe it works, you know?
Dang, you were definitely reaching. Like,
he got flying cars.
I'm just giving Kate a hard time. Like, he obviously, like, if they fought one-on-one, obviously, like, he would kill her. But, like, in that moment, that's, like, funny. The weakest he's looked in the entire movie is when Black Widow, of all people, shot him with a Taser. The widow's bite.
Well, but I will say this. As much as, like, that moment has to happen for the movie to go the way it does, but I am happy that it happens when he's caught off guard and like that, because it's not like he's not losing in physical combat where he's out thinking people. Because like I said, you don't get on Black Panther's team until he beats the crap out of you. And then, and a lot of that honestly is due to my love of the Priest run, because I see Black Panther as infallible and like perfect, especially when it comes to fighting.
Right, right. His stuff. Another thing, in addition to him knowing all these different kinds of martial arts, other people don't know his martial arts because they don't know Wakanda at all. So they wouldn't have knowledge of his combat style at all. So it doesn't make sense for Cap to be able to just, let me fight you down here. Like, Cap in a first combat situation with T'Challa should be kind of on the defensive. I'm not saying he should get beat instantly. I just mean he should be kind of on the defensive. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really know what's coming at him, and I think that the movie did it well. Like, he really didn't know how to handle this guy who was running through a tunnel.
How the hell is this guy running as fast as I am? I've had to jump on a car.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about pretty much the broad overview of the character. Obviously, this is only an hour long show, so we can't fit everything in. But we have to get to the "but why those," because that's what the show is called.
I thought it was Kate rambling about certain things.
Also true, but I haven't brought up Poe this episode.
Okay, keep going.
So the very first "but why though" in why Black Panther matters, it has to be the first, is because he's the first African superhero, and the first moment for Black representation in the world of mainstream comics. And he paves the way for Luke Cage, Falcon. And I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Gritz, but the first Black character in DC was John Stewart in 71, because Black and Lightning doesn't come up till 77.
I think that's correct, but I'm not 100%, so don't quote me on that. Yeah.
Twitter, just at me if I'm wrong. I get it. But but yeah, so he paves the way for everybody else. And it should be fair to say that Black Panther comes around in 66, and it's not until 71 that DC actually puts out a Black hero. And it's not until 77 where they put out somebody who is by himself something and not a part of something else. Mm-hmm. There are still problems with this. This isn't a Black Lightning podcast. This is a Black Panther podcast. So we're talking about him. And this is really important because there were virtually no Black heroes. And the ones that were in pulp comics, they didn't have powers. So there were existence. There was a specific run of comic books in 1947 called All Negro Comics. And then from Atlas, who was Marvel before Marvel, there was a run as well. And then I believe the first Black character in a comic was actually Lobo from Dell Comics. So there were Black characters out there. But if you're looking in mainstream, the only other non-caricatured Black supporting character was Gabriel Jones, who's a member of the Howling Commandos. Black Panther pretty much revolutionizes the space and gives that representation that that the Black community didn't have. In Black Panther Jungle Action Series, which I believe this is also Marvel's first graphic novel, if I'm correct?
I'm 100%.
Not 100%.
I mean, you're going back in history. Like.
You must be the old guy. You got to tell us all this.
So in this, even though Black Panther T'Challa is the king of an African nation, once he's moved to New York and is with the Avengers, and he deals with problems that we're facing in the Black community. And particularly in this series in 1976, he fights the Klan. It's pretty much known as Panther versus the Klan. That's the run. I'll include some a scan of this in the show notes because it's really powerful. But it's also kind of triggering, or really triggering. There is iconography of Black Panther T'Challa has to overcome being tied to a cross, and it gets really deep. And this was really hard for Marvel to publish. Because up to this point, Marvel has already tried to change Black Panther's name to distance him from the Black Panther Party, which comes after his creation in Marvel happens. So the fact that this got published is something I'm really astounded by, because it's not these guys may be Klansmen. It's there is a still of Black Panther swinging in and disrupting a Klan meeting and beating the crap out of them. Like, it was very explicit. And it hit those things. And he also fought apartheid in South Africa. Like, he was used to deal with these issues head on. And this is one of those reasons and why I take issue with people calling this current era of Marvel SJW Marvel. And I'm not talking about diversity representation. Like, we're going to leave that out of the conversation because that's its own conversation. But specifically when people use that nomenclature for Marvel in response for people putting politics into comics, for me, it's like they've never read Marvel.
So I guess the question I have is that two different things?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, politics of Marvel versus, I guess, as you call it, the social justice warrior Marvel.
I think that they're considered the same things because the same
people... I've always looked at them two different things.
Well, so no. So the same people who yell, I can't, you know, I hate SJW Marvel, get these SJW characters out. They're also the same people who complain when Marvel puts politics in their comics because they don't want politics in their comics.
They're saying that the politics are SJW. These are SJW politics.
Like, you're pushing an agenda by putting this in here.
Yeah, we got a lot of dumb people. Okay.
Yeah. We do.
Oh, yeah. I just always thought of those two different, like, actual things. And so that's why when you lumped them together, I was like, is this actually the same thing? But I guess if people are stupid enough, they will just combine everything, apparently. But yes. Okay.
Yes.
You mean I can't have actual real-world problems in my comic books that are set in, like, real world? Is that bad? That's a bad thing? Oh. Well, now I know.
It's bad if there's all these new black characters and, you know, women. That makes it bad, according to those guys.
And it makes it bad if any of the series deals with anything. That yeah.
But I thought Captain America punching Nazis was cool.
We just want to read a good story.
The funny thing is actually when you look up a lot of like the Nazi punching Cap, Black Panther beating the crap out of Klansmen will also pop up. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, there is one where he is punching a Klansman, and it looks a lot like that Nazi punching Cap. And it's really awesome to see that parallel, which they've done in other things as well. But I also think too, like this, where the X-Men, when it was created, it was, you know, Stan Lee was very aware that he wanted to do this to reflect the civil rights movement, but he also didn't have black characters in that until, you know, for a while. So this is the first time you actually see these things getting tackled overtly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really important. Got some deep but why those today.
Yeah.
Some good history there.
That's what I love. Okay, so the other one, and this is one that I hadn't really thought about before, but there's been a lot of conversation about it on Twitter and there's as well, and it's this idea of the African diaspora, or the diaspora in general. And for those of you who don't know, the concept of diaspora is people who have been forced to leave their homeland and can never return for whatever reason. It was initially used to refer to the Jewish diaspora of being pushed out of their state and never being able to return. And then biblically, and then it was then attributed to African diaspora and the Asian diaspora, which have people leaving for various reasons. Specifically with the African diaspora, it talks about the connection that the Black community in America does not have to their heritage because they were ripped from it. And then it also has now been expanded to include people who have emigrated from countries in Africa to the US and cannot return. So this idea of living in diaspora is something that is really talked about by people like Stuart Hall and stuff in media studies, as well as cultural studies. And it is highly reflective in a lot of materials that are out, specifically in Black Panther. It's used to address Eric Killmonger, which Ritz mentioned earlier. And Killmonger is native of Wakanda, and he was born under the name N'Jataka. And then Ulysses Klaue and his mercenaries attacked Wakanda. They press ganged N'Jataka's father into helping them. And when Klaue was defeated, the father died and his family was exiled. So he was forced out of Wakanda. And N'Jataka ended up in Harlem, New York, nursing a hatred against the supervillain and T'Challa, the king who exiled him. And he changed his name to Eric Killmonger, something that you also see happen in diasporic communities where they do change their, or in immigrant communities as a whole, who change their name to fit into the larger base. And he ended up studying at MIT, in fueled with this rage to avenge his father. Currently, the way the African Union explains diaspora are people of African origin living outside the continent, irrespective of their citizenship and nationality, and who are willing to contribute to the development of the continent and building the African Union. And this is something that is specific just to an African context, and it's what has been decided by a body, not necessarily how people living in the diaspora coin it themselves. But yeah, so Eric Killmonger, specifically with his role in Black Panther, the movie coming out, there's been a renewed focus and talk about what it represents for people living in the diaspora. That's why it's But Why, though. School is in session today.
Gonna learn today.
My degree's coming in handy for something.
that's some good stuff. So yeah. Killmonger is kind of one of the big bads. One of Black Panther's big bads, as far as especially a native Wakandan that he can't handle. You know, he's like, you always see Panther as kind of like seemingly unbeatable, but he's never beat this guy, you know. And there's a funny line when you meet Casper Cole later on. Casper's talking to Killmonger, and Casper's like, you know, y'all. Casper's from, you know, he's from the States. You know, he's just straight up just a dude from New York, and he's telling Killmonger, he's like, yeah, man, I'm a beat you, and I'm a take that mantle, because you know Killmonger still has the mantle technically at this point, and Killmonger just kind of laughs and he sits down, because you know during the duel for the mantle you can take breaks whenever you want. Casper kind of jokingly asks for a break and he goes, oh, okay. So he sits down and he like hands him a Snapple, and he tells him basically, he's like, dude, you think you're gonna beat me? But I'm the one dude that Black Panther has never beat, and you can't even touch that guy. So he's like, so let's talk this out. And it's just a real cool situation. You kind of get the sense of how, you know, how serious Killmonger is.
Yeah. Which also I will have to say, I one of the things, and I think this can go into another But Why, though, and specifically under I guess this broader category representation, is the representation of Wakandans are, they are all geniuses.
Oh yeah.
Like Killmonger has a degree from MIT. T'Challa, fun fact, has a PhD in physics from Oxford University. So like that type of positive representation and reinforcing the intelligence of characters who, in a medium where a lot of the times like does not let people of color be represented in that way, especially at the time that a lot of this is being written. It's actually pretty ballsy of Marvel if you think about it. Like, we don't think about it now, but back then, like,
fun fact, Miss Marvel, her best friend, wow, his name is slipping my mind. I have a bad memory. All right, anyways, her best friend, he goes to chill in Wakanda because he's so smart that he leaves the States and he goes to Wakanda to go to school with them. You find out in a later issue that he's over there struggling in the class with the rest of the Wakanda students. He's like the lowest in the class. He's hanging in there barely. Bruno, that's his name. Bruno.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have not read that far. Thanks, Ritz. I only buy trade. It's my fault.
When I was a kid, I thought it was possible because of the Sahara Desert and how large it is and the lack of things, that it's possible that Wakanda does exist in Northern Africa, only because if you think of the concept of DC in the Gorilla City, and they just had the technology to actually have it cloaked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you really can't, once you go out to the Sahara Desert, like tracking-wise and finding everything
nothing
else,
really
there's
works.
Nothing out there.
This is true.
Wakanda is real, y'all. Matt has spoken it into existence. Actually, it'd be really awesome if Wakanda was real. So beyond this, we have to look at writing, and we have to look at the fact that Black Panther is shown as being probably, at least from my understanding, Ritz, again, correct me if I'm wrong, specifically Christopher Priest's writing of him being some of the best in Marvel. Have you had a favorite writer?
Oh, him? Yeah. That's probably Priest. Yeah. For reasons. However, you know, the more when you, after you get over the initial wow of something, and the more you read it, you start to kind of analyze it a little bit more, and then you compare it to other things, and you know, and then you like when I'm reading the current Coates run, you know, my initial thought was this is a little slow, the pacing's a little off. It's beautiful writing, but man, I missed that Priest stuff. You know what I mean? But then, like after rereading both of these several times, of course, I've read Priest's more because it's older, but reading both of them several times because I've read Coates' run over again up to the point where it's at right now at least twice. So you start to see kind of where the writer's head is at when they're in the way they're thinking about these characters, you know, or this character.
Yeah, and I think like speaking on Coates, when he was tapped as the writer for Black Panther, everybody, and I'm like, I'm only speaking, like, not even like addressing the side of like comic book readers, but just like from academia.
Oh yeah,
everybody lost their shit.
Yeah, like,
they were so excited because Ta-Nehisi Coates he wrote Between the Worlds and Me, which is really, really credited as being like a powerful novel, and two, Toni Morrison called it filling in the intellectual gap between James Baldwin and now, which those are giant words.
I don't know that I've read anything it was like poetry, but it wasn't poetry, but it was like poetry. Yeah, I don't know if I've read anything that it's hard to describe it, but it's amazing.
Yeah. So for if you don't know what Between the Worlds and Me is, it is a book that is written in the style of James Baldwin's 1963's The Fire Next Time, in which that is two letters. Put it bound into one, and this is written as a letter from Coates to his teenage sons to his teenage son about feeling symbolism and the realities associated with being Black in the U.S. And it was really, really critically acclaimed, and having him jump into the seat of one of the most well-known, if not the most well-known Black character in comic books was just really like amazing, and the fact that you have a scholar pretty much jumping into that into that seat was exciting.
He has a passion for knowledge, like even in that in Between the World and Me, he's talking about the metaphor that he uses throughout the book are Black bodies. He talks about Black bodies. He says he says you know, this is what this, when people see me, they look at my Black body and they think this way. And then they come and they bring harm to my Black body. And, you know, and when he looks at women who look good, he's looking at their Black bodies. He uses in every context. And he just drives home this point. And then he starts thinking about, you know, who are these other people outside of that? Who's his history? And he talks about telling his son about how he literally he had a hunger and went to the library and just started grabbing books and reading about these, about people from African-American history and just straight up African history and whatnot. And and the way he describes it as he's going throughout this book, it's like, it's poetry. It's incredible.
And I also like misspoke. I should have characterized it as a novel because novel makes it seem like it's fiction. This is based mostly like an autobiography.
Right.
Yeah.
It's some good stuff. He brings some of that poetic writing to Black Panther too, which is, I mean, partially why so many people were probably happy to hear he was on the run before he even came out.
Which brings you to the ultimate debate: Coates or Priest?
yeah, that's so. I'm gonna tell you right now, most people are gonna straight up say Priest. I guess it depends on who your audience is. I mean, there's some people who haven't read Priest yet, or who read Coates first and heard about Priest and went back and like Coates more. You know, there's some people who are just more predisposed to him. It's a really difficult discussion. I've heard some people say they straight up hate Coates' run, like just straight up, like, oh, it's bad. And I can never agree with that. I can never, I can agree with there's a lot of issues and there's, you know, things that I think could be done better, pacing, etc. But some people are, they just say that it's bad. And I can't, I'm like, it's not bad. There might be things you don't like about it, but it's not bad. when I really think about the difference between the two. So Priest's Black Panther, his popularity comes from the fact that this is the guy that we like. This is the guy we want. He's like this stoic.
He's ideal.
Yeah. He's stoic. He's methodical. He's through 2, 3, 4 steps above everybody or ahead of everybody. King of the world. You know, like he's so like his mind state is so furtive that even the narrative knows it. Like in the Priest run, because if you look at it, it's narrated by a white guy named Ross, which is an excellent take. Ross narrates from a perspective that we can understand, and it almost as if we can't understand the way that Panther's mind works. Like he's like an enigma. You know what I mean? Like women love him. You know? he's supposed to be like extra suave, extra dapper all the time. You know, so he's got the bald hair and you know the goatee and stuff. You know, and it's really driven home in his narrative. And he's like punching the devil in the face, fighting Iron Fist, declaring war on America. You know, like he literally does all these things in his book. And even though his country at home, Wakanda, is unstable, he doesn't have any reservations about how to balance it. Like, regardless of how tenuous the politics and the economics are there, he doesn't feel strained balancing it. So people who are old school readers might be used to that. So when you take that and you look at versus the Colts run, this is where people start to take issue. See, Colts Panther is more human. He's like, T'Challa is like going through a midlife crisis. Yeah, this is like after the Doom War, after Namor, after Thanos. You know what I'm saying? He's like, Wakanda actually got hurt. Like, this has never happened. Like, if you look at Hudlin's run, because we never mentioned Hudlin, but Hudlin was also the boss too. Like, that's where you get the, that's where you get the Storm relationship from. You know what I mean? like Hudlin establishes that it's not just T'Challa, this like the big boss, but Wakanda itself, like all the way back from like 500 AD, was the boss. like back in the day, they had tech that nobody else had already. You know what I mean? People just, they weren't ready for it. So when you get to Colts run, it's like he's more vulnerable because of all this stuff he's been through. And he starts to question himself more. You see him visibly questioning himself. All right, he still is capable fighting wise, but his mind, we can now see his mind now. We're seeing that he's fighting between, oh, am I a king or am I a hero? How am I balancing? Where's this delicate balance between the two? You know what I mean? I want to be a benevolent man, but how benevolent are kings? How can you be a king and rule and be fair to everybody? You know what I mean? How can you have a watchful eye of everybody? Is monarchy really right? Is it time to cast away tradition? He's thinking about all of these different concepts, and you see it. We don't see it in Priest run because he got it all on lock, but we see it here because he's showing a more vulnerable side. He has conversations with Aurora and Ramonda, Shuri, and Wakanda's always been kind of in a tenuous state. But in this run, we can see that he's actually struggling with how to deal with it. He's getting hit with stuff from all the different sides, all these different angles, and he isn't exactly sure how to handle it. So that's the difference between like Colts run and like Priest run.
Damn.
All
right,
we're done. Let's do this. Very well said.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I mean, I guess I know Matt and Adrian, you two haven't read either runs. You know, where do you think, like, just from like what Ritz has told us, like where do you all like fall in this?
The priest one sounds better to me. It sounds way more interesting, but I don't know. That's just because y'all buy it, so you paint it a little bit more exciting. But
I mean, he's doing like, I'm not gonna lie, the priest run, He's doing back to back badass stuff the entire time. Like, like back to back. He's throwing ice cream trucks into buildings. He's like raising like warships that have been sitting in the Manhattan River. Like just sitting there, you know.
I'm about that. I like it.
Give me that.
I'll take that one.
Well, honestly, I think it just depends on the mindset that you're in. Because obviously I'm kind of like, yeah, you guys made the other one sound, or the priest run sound like so exciting. We're just doing backflips the entire time. Whereas the other one, like you said, a midlife crisis. I mean, I don't even think people want to face their own midlife crisis, let alone reading about it.
Hey, I thought that Ritz talking about coats could convert some people because that was pretty passionate.
No, I really think the coach run I find more interesting. Only because it does just deal with his mind in general and, like, I guess almost like a breaking, considering he, like, as we pointed out multiple times already, that he is one of the smartest people in Marvel and that his nation is, like, these super, super smart. And so if you are from this high intellect civilization and, like, country and you're questioning your mind, that is, like, should be the last thing that should ever leave you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go reread Coach, guys.
Like, I just feel like you're more trained in that civilization, or I say civilization, but it, you know, the I guess tribe or Wakanda. I just feel like the way you're basically training your body, they train their mind there, and I just don't see that should be your ultimate weapon and your ultimate thing that holds on the longest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, damn, he survived the heart-shaped herb. Like, he survives that, but but his mind's struggling here. Like, you know, he's been through things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, things just different things affect you in a different way. I think it's far more character focused. Coach Run is. It's far more character focused. It's also a more intellectual read. You know what I mean? You can, like, if you are just kind of mindlessly reading, you'll miss a lot of stuff in Priest Run. But it's still enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just, like reading, not, like, really paying attention to it, you'll still see the cool pages with, you know, with him fighting Iron Fist and stuff like that. But, you know, but if you're really, like, Coates forces you to pay attention to what's going on to enjoy it.
Yeah. I will say this. The first time I read through Volume 1, I had to reread it, but it was because I felt like I didn't have a grasp on it because I was kind of distracted doing different things. Because it's like, oh, yeah. I know how most comics are written. I can do this and this. And it's like, oh, no. Coach wants me to pay attention the entire time. So.
A lot of dialogue.
So moving on, we have to at least preface or I guess lightly touch on the Black Panther movie because it might break $1 billion.
Oh, might. That's a done deal.
I know I've been listening to Matt talk about like the numbers behind this and stuff. Like, do you want to go into that?
Oh, I thought it had a legitimate chance almost at the beginning of January or so that it had a chance to break $1 billion. And then I've been basically sold on this since probably about like January 10th, if not way before that, that it was going to break $1 billion.
Yeah.
And I still think it will.
So questions here. Does everybody here have their tickets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Thursday.
And my Alamo Draft House pint glass.
And my Alamo
Draft House pint glass. Yeah. Adrian, do you think it will break $1 billion?
I hope so. I mean, I wouldn't want it not to.
But... Well, I'm not saying do you not rooting against it. I was just asking if you think it actually will.
I don't know. It'll be close. It'd be crazy if it does.
It's definitely going to.
I'm the Ritz right here. I don't know.
People thought that Last Jedi was going to be the best thing in the world, and then it was. It didn't have the rewatchability that people thought it had, and that's what it comes down to. Like I told Matt before when we were talking about this, like it'll break $1 billion if it has like that rewatchability factor where people go back and see it 4, 5, 6 times. Yeah, and like I told Matt, like it has to have like some major flaws for it not to break $1 billion. I don't think it will, but you know, crazier things have happened. I haven't seen the movie yet, so who knows? I've only seen like one trailer, so who knows? I just want to see Wakanda already. God damn it!
I will say,
I hope it does.
I know, like, after that first trailer dropped, I know Matt and I were just kind of like, holy crap, this is going to be something.
Yeah.
Like, the fighting in that first trailer is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, because all these movies have like those big, huge, you know, opening weekends. Like, they all do. Like, this is going to have a crazy opening weekend. It's like that 4 or 5 week mark that yeah. I hope people keep going back to see it.
So you're talking about more of like it needs longevity. No, it can't be the steep drop off.
Well, yeah, all billion-dollar things have to have longevity. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because opening weekend, especially nowadays and everything else, is almost irrelevant.
Yeah, because like Last Jedi had a huge opening weekend, and then it had like a 60% drop off by like week 3. So we'll see.
But there was a lot of scrutinization and controversy on it.
I think people
scrutinize Marvel movies as much as Star Wars, I don't think.
I don't know. I think people scrutinize the hell out of
it. I don't know. People hated Age of Ultron. That's what I'm saying. Like, I hope that if it is flawed, which I really hope it's not, I hope it gives me the same feels that Civil War did. Because I walked into Civil War like wanting to go like revolving door right back into the theater and see it. That's how I want this to be. Like, if it is flawed, if it's like Iron Man 3, like really heights.
Oh, I don't. Yeah,
it's really hard. It would be really hard for it to be that bad.
I'd rather watch the trailer.
I'll go Spider-Man: Homecoming or like Guardians of the Galaxy, like where there's like obvious flaws to it. And if we don't talk about the flaws and this turns into like a Last Jedi thing, I'm gonna be super upset. So I'm hoping it's flawless. But if it does have flaws, I hope we talk about them and do you better next time.
I think people hate us just because we look at flaws at this point.
Mm-hmm.
you're muted.
I hope it really is perfect, but
yeah. I think one of the to
be honest with itself, if it's has some problems, if any at all.
I really feel like The Last Jedi has hurt you.
It really has. It really has.
His face right now. I never thought I'd see Adrian almost cry.
I cried in Civil War. Hopefully I cry in this one too. So we'll see what happens.
So yeah, I mean, we have for Black Panther, it's pretty much on track. Like from just the pre-sales alone, it is smashing numbers. And then on top of that too, you have an all-star cast, like pretty much some of the biggest names are in there and perfectly cast in my opinion, especially Angela Bassett.
Yeah, and they set it up so well. That's what I'm saying. Like, something like really, really bad has to happen for this movie not to just crush everything.
Yeah.
Like, something really, really bad.
Yeah. And not to mention, like,
even the Infinity War trailer at this point is even helping this movie.
Yeah. Because there's so much Wakanda in that trailer.
That's what I'm saying. Even the trailer of a movie that's coming
Wakanda.
Because yeah, I had some people were like, oh, they just released this. They should have waited until after Black Panther, was out. So they didn't pull anything from it. I'm like, half that damn trailer is Wakanda. Did we watch the same thing?
I was like,
yeah.
Like, damn, no. Like, Bucky and Cap are standing in the back behind all the Wakandan soldiers. But yeah, so we're not going to go too much into the movie, too much of talking about it, because I know Adrian has tried to stay as mostly a clean slate as he can, trailer wise.
Y'all screwing that. Thanks, appreciate it. Love y'all.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know Bucky was out of the thing and with Wakanda shoulders. Now, God damn it. now I want to go watch Black Panther even more now.
They're gonna freeze Bucky back up. They're gonna let him out for just a second so I can have a talk. All right, back in you go.
Yeah. one for you, not you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still excited. I think the character is dope, and I'm excited to see like focus on him because like the scenes that he's just in Black Panther, he steals screen time.
You mean Civil War?
Yeah, Civil War. Like he steals the screen time in Civil War. Like any scene he's in is amazing. And he's like, as a warrior and a king, how long do you think you're gonna keep him from me? I was like, oh, he's badass. He's badass. Yeah, I love it.
That characterization is so spot on.
Like, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think like as much as because this this movie is pretty much an all black cast with all black creatives behind it from sound to cinematography to costuming to directing and writing. Like this is a movie that is also like hyped because of this. But on top of that, you have such a great introduction in Civil War to know that they're going to crush T'Challa. Like, they're going to make this character like what he should be. And I'm so excited.
I'm just going to say that Ava DuVernay slightly influenced, co-wrote the movie only because she was sitting across. For Ryan when they were both writing. Like, I don't understand how two people of that caliber can sit in the same room and write different things across from each other. Like, yeah. How do you focus? How do you do that?
I think it'd actually be pretty easy, honestly. I think it actually helps a lot.
I think I'd be sitting there wondering how great what the other person is writing.
I don't know. I feel like that would be. I enjoy, I guess, when I think if I can have something to bounce off that's even completely irrelevant,
right.
Like that's from a totally different thing, it helps because you're thinking of something totally different that helps you, I guess, it's probably not even going to make sense per se, but it does in my head, but it's going to make me think of something completely different. Like if I'm thinking of apples, it's going to make me think of basically oranges and how can I do with oranges to make oranges into like apples.
It's like it pushes you.
That's exactly how the writing process works. And like speaking from experience, like when you're on your own by yourself, you can sit there for hours and be like in a black hole. And then you go talk to one person and they say blue and you go, oh, snap. Like blue. Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I can't write to save my life, but I feel like the thinking process of doing pretty much anything else, it totally.
It's in my head canon that, you know, on a quick break, you know, a stretch break, you know, he might ask her a question like, hey, so what do you think about this right here?
My head canon, she just walked over while he was on a break, picked up the script and added some stuff into it and then walked away. But yeah, so this is going to be a great movie. We will be doing a review when this comes out. And you can look for that. Ritz, you are more than welcome to come back and join us for another review.
I likely will. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now the last, but why though? Cause I have to ask this, you have a whole podcast on Black Panther. So one, tell everybody its name.
It's Wakanda for Life.
Okay. And then now why? But why though?
Because there's not really a Black Panther focused podcast. I mean, there's like been podcasts like that talk about Black Panther here and there, you know what I mean? Or like episodes dedicated to Black Panther. But it's not like a podcast that's just dedicated to Black Panther. So Sister Geek and I were like, okay, when we were really thinking about how we wanted to structure it, we say, you know, we need to really go through this history and let people know what's going on. I mean, some people hear the name Priest. Like, Christopher Priest is a pretty well-known name out there now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, Priest. But it's like, what's really between those pages? You know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes I hear a name of a run of some writer who I haven't read before, you know, that's big. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the Jeff Johns run of whatever. You know, oh, but I didn't read this particular one. I know it's good because everybody says it's good, or at least I assume it is. But what's really there? What really makes it good? So that's why we talk about it, so people can really get that insight and maybe like want to go check this stuff out.
Awesome. And I can vouch for him. It's a good podcast. I like it.
Do you think you'll ever run out of material?
No. No. It's not like as extensive as like, you know, it's not like we're doing an X-Men podcast where like it's just never ending. It's not like that. However, there's always going to be new material to talk about. Like we're still just talking about the first parts of the Breach run. You know what I mean? Like we got ways to go.
Yes, I didn't know how far into, I guess, the entire runs you were in. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah. You got a ways to go.
So this wouldn't be But Why Though if we didn't have fun facts. So T'Challa actually created a new scientific field called shadow physics, which is a combination between alchemy and science.
Isn't it sorcery?
Shh. It's shadow physics.
That's sorcery.
It's the science behind sorcery.
Would you say it is black magic?
Sorcery.
Black science. I like that.
He also deduced Daredevil's true identity. So there is a scene where T'Challa takes off his mask and he's like, I know who you are. Because he Matt Murdock did not willingly give him his identity. T'Challa just guessed that. Like, yeah. Sherlock Holmes guessed it. He got it right.
Like, it was nothing, too. It was pretty like, oh, yeah, duh. Yeah.
I haven't seen this, obviously, scene or anything, but I feel like even in the new Daredevil, he does a pretty good job of, like, he's going to let everybody know that who he is. And so I don't know how...
Okay, you're not wrong there. He probably knows who he is. He hasn't even met him in the MCU.
This also led to Black Panther being Daredevil for a while.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
I'm down with that. I want that. Give me that one.
Yeah.
Like Daredevil 500 and I'm guessing off the top of my head, 508 maybe. Something like that.
That's a good fun fact. 8
to 12. I'll look it up again later.
He also designed the Avengers Quinjet.
That's false. I saw it in the MCU. It never happened.
Oh my god.
Trust me, when you watch Black Panther, they're gonna address that.
Stark stole that. And Hank Pym had nothing to do with old
Earth 199999.
Also, Shuri, his sister, is actually given the mantle of Black Panther while he's recovering from, like, the brink of death. And so she has a run as Black Panther for a little while.
I feel like there's an animated episode where that actually shows that.
Huh.
I could be completely wrong, but I feel like I've seen it.
Which part of me totally wants her. Like, we know there are two Black Panther suits. I hope she, like, picks something up and, like, runs around in Infinity War in a Black Panther suit.
I'm hoping.
I want that so much. But her like hand cannons are
He's got Black Panther suits like Tony Stark.
So, yeah, that's true.
Like that's true. How Casper Cole got his. Like this guy, he left it over his boy's house, picked up his
suit. Oh god. So now that we are done with that, we have to go into the fan but why those. And this is a the majority of these people in these fan but why those are actually members of the Do You Even Comic Book family.
Hey.
So make sure you check out that hashtag on Twitter and follow everybody. Some amazing comic talk. And I'm very happy I found this part of the little interwebs personally. So from @JoeFru, the winner of our little question contest, or not contest, but like our question entries.
Yes.
He says, Black Panther matters to me because this recent run is among the best comics I've ever read. Coates' writing and pacing are superb.
Ooh, hot take.
And this is from @Sakura_XP says, Black Panther matters to me because it is important to the Twitter fam that they get representation. I see how excited they are for this movie, for the merch, and I want this for them. Next, @3sis13 says, Black Panther matters to me because of the power of image the character represents. Strength, nobility, and intelligence are a few of the traits the characters have that I'm excited for my daughters to see on screen. Next, from @SwaraSaleh1, a friend of the podcast, has been on a few episodes. Black Panther matters to me because he's a prominent genius, resourceful, and incredibly deep Black hero who is an empowering figure for people of color everywhere. I'm not Black, but to see him so highly revered makes me hopeful for other powerful POC heroes to be revered as well, including Kurdish or Middle Eastern heroes in the future. Next, we have from @J_AKA_Jordan, part of my personal little friend club on Twitter. She's amazing. Black Panther. Black Panther matters to me because as a woman and an HBCU and hearing how the community wants to see themselves in this glorified light we deserve and to see ourselves in this character and his female warriors and scientists and say, I can be like that, if not better, just fills me up with inspiration, makes me really want this electrical engineering degree to see if I can make something as lit as their tech. Just seeing the different elements of Black culture in him and the people that surround him is what the world needs to see to show that unity is key to success. I just like that this character and movie will be more eye-opening for all and inspire all, no matter race, age, sexuality, whatever, everyone will get the feels.
The only thing that is kind of funny about that is Wakanda likes their isolation.
I know. From at CP3O, Black Panther is special to me because he isn't token diversity. He's a character that has been around since 1966, has a substantial backstory, and holds an elite status in the Marvel Comics universe. Also, I think it's pretty great that he's a king in addition to a superhero. It gives his character extra depth and makes him stand out. A lot of the times, diversity is like, here's a POC hero. Now sit over there in the corner while Batman, Superman, Captain America, etc. do the real hero stuff. Black Panther isn't that. Cap always shows him respect, as do notorious haters like Doom and Namor. Notorious haters.
He just gave my exact feels for why Cyborg is so trash in Justice League.
But what?
Go sit over there, Cyborg, while Superman comes. Go do tech stuff while Superman goes and saves the day. Is basically, yeah, I agree with you, bud. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
I know Adrian was hurt a lot by movies last year.
I'm so hurt this episode. Leave me alone.
Thank you for submitting your fan, but why those? They will be up on the website when this episode is posted. Now to end the show, what are y'all's?
What?
What are y'all's?
What are for what?
Y'all's, but why those?
She said, what are those?
Whatever. Now to end the show, what are y'all's feelings now? Adrian?
So, like I said at the beginning of this episode, I didn't know a whole lot about him outside of just like what I've seen on like Twitter and like watching guys talk about him. So I'm more excited about the movie. I'm excited for how excited all of my friends are for the movie. I think these fan but why those kind of say it better than I can, so I don't want to like try to outsay what they say since they have a passion for the character a lot deeper than mine. But I'm excited for the character. I think he's dope. I think the actor is amazing. I hope it crushes $1 billion, and I hope he kicks ass in Infinity War in a couple months.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm really excited for this movie. I've been excited for this movie probably more than Infinity War at this point. I'm kind of like with the, I don't have the, I guess the passion because it wasn't like, you know, I guess a depth in, I don't know the character as well as like obviously Ritz on the show or even a lot of the people that in our fan, but why those? But I mean, from what I've known from the character, it just, I've always liked him for what he's done, especially his attitude of and the demeanor that he carries, especially even towards like the Avengers. You can definitely, just from like what I've seen in the animated series when they show a lot of stuff, he takes, basically he does not like stupidity at all, and he doesn't mingle in like dumb stuff. Like a lot of the arguments, he just walks away and says, I'm not dealing with this. This is below me. And so I'm also like, it just makes me excited to see Wakanda because it is just like an advanced civilization with so much intellect. It's awesome.
So you feel it on a spiritual level.
Sure. I mean, they're all scientists, like basically everything else in this movie.
So as the scientist of the show.
Oh, I would be a dumb scientist in that place. But...
Well, I know that, but I'm saying as the scientist of the show, you're totally down for the science of Wakanda.
I don't know. He made sorcery, so it's got to be awesome. I'm calling it sorcery, not shadow physics. I'm sorry.
It's sorcery.
Even though
you don't like him with his cape, you can't call it sorcery.
Yeah, that's true.
with a cape, his sorcery sounds a lot cooler.
This is true. Dang it. But no, I'm I've been saying it for probably about this entire month. I really believe it's going to break $1 billion. And if it doesn't, I'm going to actually be very disappointed.
Yeah.
I would put Vegas money that this movie breaks $1 billion. That's how set I am on this.
Nice.
Also, with inflation, I guarantee you this is probably going to be a movie that's in the top 10 of all-time movies made just by default. Just from pre-sales alone.
Oh, yeah. By pre-sales, it has to. Like, these pre-sales have been insane.
Yes.
So for me, I have kind of talked a lot about why I like Black Panther throughout this episode. So rewind it, you'll hear it. But I actually really like what showing the world of Wakanda that, like Matt said, is straight science. And like the opportunity that this does for Marvel to do outreach to marginalized communities, specifically within the world of STEM. Because Marvel has shown with their other movies that they do STEM initiatives with them. So I'm really excited for the possibilities that this gives to get kids, kind of like how J.A.K. Jordan said about, you know, finishing her electrical engineering degree and like getting people who have not known this character, like just kind of like, I want to make that tech.
Well, there's a lot of smart people in Africa and they're not just like third world countries.
Yeah.
They're developed and it's going to highlight all of that.
Definitely.
It has a very bad stigma that's just a dump and it's not. I mean, there are places, but for the most part, they're just as advanced as a lot of places.
I completely agree. Because it's fact. So it doesn't matter if I agree. It's it's fact. but yeah, so that's like one of the things I'm really excited for. I'm also really stoked to see the Dora Milaje. And I think overall, like, this Black Panther as a character has, like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this movie. I'm so excited for him. I'm so excited for Shuri. I'm so excited for everything because I love him. And I think definitely this gives us a well-rounded character who has so many facets in the universe. And I'm excited for where it can go. And it also gives me a lot of hope that hopefully we get some Latinx representation on screen because it is severely lacking. So I'm hoping that the MCU and Disney and stuff sees the sales from here and like, hey, we can take this bet too. Even if it's a Netflix show. I'll take White Tiger Netflix show. Yeah.
Good luck.
I know.
Yeah. Sad.
Adrian's hurt again now.
It's all right. We get Miles Morales in animated form at the end of the year. It counts, right?
Yes, it should.
A little bit, at least.
Yeah. It counts on paper.
Yeah.
Not in fandom.
I think it's going to be dope.
It is going to be dope, though. Yeah, so Ritz, your final words.
Oh, yeah. But why, though? but, man. Representation. Yo, representation, kids wearing Black Panther costumes, white kids wearing Black Panther costumes, kids in a toy store picking up Black Panther toys off the shelves, you know, Black women in leading roles in like top movies, you know, people buying out entire theaters and going dressed in African garb and dashikis. you know, people like doing 24-hour viewings of, you know, of this film. It's crazy. These pre-sales are crazy. Man, it's just huge. It's like, it's probably one of the biggest things that, like, movie-wise at least, that I've probably ever seen. Well, it hasn't happened yet, but this is happening. It's happening actively. I mean, the premiere was insane. Like, if you saw what people were wearing, it's incredible. Like, the whole spirit that this thing is bringing out in people, it should show, just like you were saying, it should show people right there, yo, representation matters. Different people's cultures matter. Like, people aren't just excited because it's Black Panther or because it's Marvel or because it's somebody in my job said, you know, oh, it's because it's Marvel. That's why people are excited. It's not just because it's Marvel. It's because people are getting represented at the very forefront. You know what I mean? Like in one of the top grossing movie industries out right now, these superhero movies is one of the top.
The top actually, because the MCU is the top movie franchise financially.
So you're talking about the top movie franchise right now, and a movie that is selling out or doing breaking records as far as pre-sales, and it's featuring black people. There's two white people in this movie. Andy Serkis and the dude who plays Ross. Bilbo. Like
Stanley Cap. Is he gonna be in there?
This is again Stan Lee. He's like, you know, he's gonna cameo somewhere. Who is he gonna cameo with? But it's mind blowing, man. It really is. And seriously, again, one more time for the black women. Like, come on, dude. Never, ever, ever have you seen like black women in this kind of action-esque role forefront. A little bit. I'm not saying, you know, there's been some slight role, but this big? Nah, never this big.
Yeah, like black women haven't had a blade.
Right. Yeah, like it's never been this big. We got all the Dora Milaje shit, like just. It's gonna be amazing. Tessa is probably the closest we got to it in Thor. That was a few months ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah, this is gonna be huge.
Also, Tessa is also amazing because she's repping for the Latinas too.
Oh yeah, true that.
So you're excited?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. That was our Black Panther episode, and hopefully we will have Ritz back on for our review. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.
Yeah, no doubt.
And imparting your knowledge.
Always fun.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find you?
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Ivy Wall or The Fourth Wall on Twitter. That's spelled Ivy Wall. Also, my blog is at ivywall.net, spelled the same way. And soon to come, if you check the Do You Even Comic Book hashtag, there will be doyoueveincomicbook.com dropping very soon. So just type it into your browser. It'll probably pop up soon. So be on the lookout for that.
We will make sure to post that and boost it through all our Twitter channels once that goes live as well.
No doubt. Thanks.
Yeah. And what about your podcast? Where can they find your podcast?
Also on ivywall.net. That's why I always forget because it's on the site. ivywall.net. As a matter of fact, Wakanda for Life, the four is an IV for four. So Wakanda for Life, life with a Y. Also, you can follow Sister Geek at @S_hero, the number four higher. On Twitter. We'll be having another episode dropping for that soon too.
Awesome. As always, you can find the podcast at But Why Though PC on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And if you have any fan But Why Those, send them to us, info@ButWhyThoughPodcast.com, and we will put them up on the site, whether it's for Black Panther or something else. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your feels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @OhMyMythRandier. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt?
And you can find me on the Twitter at DatM18, DATTM18.
So question, Ritz, what song you want to go out to?
Oh, obviously the Black Panther song.
Which song is that?
My Black Panther song. Let's go.
Oh yeah, that's your Black Panther song. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Did you even listen to it?
I did. It's good.
Rich up here yelling at me to listen to it. I already gave you feedback and listened to it like 4 days ago.
Are you gonna do a copyright claim against us?
No.
We got a lot of those.
Panther. Panther. I got broads of Wakanda. My niggas, they call me T'Challa. Keep my claws like a pilot. For bringing him with it, if I'm honest.
legacy. Panda, you getting a green like I'm Batman. That's why I'm the king of commander. I be stiff, I'm keeping it candy. Legacy, Panther, legacy, Panther, legacy, Panther. It's a legacy of the Panther. It's a legacy of the Panther. The legacy of the Panther. Panther, Panther, Panther.